together. Today we are all Muslims.
Yesterday, hundreds of demonstrators gathered in Times Square to speak out against congressional hearings on Muslim extremism. The hearings, being chaired by Long Island Congressman Peter King, are set for this Thursday. They've generated opposition nationwide, not only from Muslim groups, but from many others who compare the investigation to Joseph McCarthy's anti-communist hearings during the Red Scare. WNYC's Arun Venugopal has more on the many questions that still surround the hearings.
After the November elections, when the GOP won control of the House, Congressman Peter King was made chair of the House Homeland Security Committee. He immediately promised to hold hearings on the threat of Muslim extremism in the U.S.
What do I want to do? Bill, there's a real issue.
Here's King in early January talking with Bill O'Reilly of Fox News about the need for the hearings.
Al-Qaeda has realized it's very difficult for them to come in from the outside. What they are doing is recruiting Muslims in this country or under the radar screen. People are living here illegally.
He said much of the blame rests with the Muslim American leadership.
For whatever reason, Muslim leaders are not doing enough to cooperate with law enforcement. There's actually been instances of imams instructing the people in their mosques not to cooperate with law enforcement.
King announced he would be calling a variety of people to testify, including Muslim leaders, law enforcement officials, and critics of Islam. Just months after the attempted bombing of Times Square and the furor over Park 51, the prospect of the hearings was exciting to critics of Islam. Those include Robert Spencer, who runs jihadwatch.org, and who argues that some Muslim organizations in the U.S. are in fact front groups for the Muslim Brotherhood. He claims these groups don't embrace the U.S. Constitution and thought the King hearings would help expose those ties.
Certainly, yes. I'd like to see some revelations that would support that, and I think there's an abundance of evidence to demonstrate that these groups are indeed working to further the Brotherhood agenda.
But over the last 2 months, a major campaign developed opposing the hearings. According to Raha Walla of Human Rights First, it wasn't just Muslims that were involved.
You have human rights groups, civil liberty groups, national security-oriented organizations, interfaith groups that have all been speaking out about these proposed hearings.
Human Rights First circulated talking points to its allies, arguing that Muslims are patriotic and do cooperate with law enforcement. Walla says the hearings would actually undermine national security by serving as evidence of anti-Muslim sentiment.
There are al-Qaeda propagandists out there, like Anwar al-Awlaki, who are looking for, stuff like this to back up their assertions and their claims.
Liberal blogs like Think Progress circulated what they considered King's most outrageous claims, like this one made recently on the Laura Ingraham Show.
He thought over 80% of the mosques in this country were controlled by radical imams. And certainly from what I've seen and dealings I've had, that number seems accurate now.
Other media outlets like to cite King's remarks that there are too many mosques in the country and that law enforcement should be trying harder to infiltrate them. Now, both supporters and opponents of the hearings feel the criticism got to King. The congressman told the media he wouldn't be calling some of the more controversial critics of Islam, or law enforcement officials who complained about the Muslim community. He said those officials wouldn't go on the record with their charges. Eventually, Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch says he lost faith in King.
Really, he's remarkably thin-skinned for a public figure and seems to be wholly unequipped to fight this battle, which is to a tremendous degree a propaganda war.
King's office will not disclose the list of witnesses at the hearings or respond to criticisms. But one person who is confirmed to testify is Dr. Zudi Jasser, a physician in Phoenix who runs the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. Jasser says the real issue isn't whether Muslims are willing to expose extremists.
Every Muslim I know would report those Muslims in and try to get that to stop from happening.
But like Spencer, Jasser thinks that behind closed doors, some Muslim groups reject the U.S. Constitution in favor of the Quran. More broadly, he feels Muslims are largely in denial about the threat of radicalization.
And there's very little reflection on what are the ideas, the supremacist ideas that drive Imam Awlaki, that drive Nidal Hassan to feel that they hate the society and they want to separate from it. It's not just blaming foreign policy, it's an internal supremacism, a theocratic mentality that I think most of these organizations are in denial.
Jasser thinks King's hearings will make Muslims confront these issues more forcefully and help usher in a period of reform for the community. But for other Muslims, the feeling is that these congressional hearings will make official what they describe as a growing anti-Islamic fervor sweeping the country. Talat Hamdani is the mother of Salman Hamdani, a Pakistani-American police cadet who died on 9/11 at Ground Zero.
To ostracize and paint with a broad brush, you know, and hold a community responsible, none of those people, those 19 terrorists, were Americans. So why are, you know, the American Muslim being blamed?
Hamdani said she and other 9/11 family members tried to meet with King, but were brushed off. But she will be traveling to Washington this Thursday to watch the hearings for herself. For WNYC, I'm Arun Venugopal.